Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Workshop, June 6, 2010. I think you'll enjoy this one. Those of you who have been listening, we've been having Peter Kulish on a lot, and it's been very, very informative having him. We've been learning all about magnetism lately. So anyway, let's start the show. See what Dr. Bell is doing today.
So how's everybody enjoying our little show this weekend?
There we go.
How many of you guys were at the UFO panel this morning? A good portion. Good. It helps me to structure my talk because I really, today, don't really care to go in detail about the secret government and starting in 1947 and how all these things started. I'd like to today more or less talk about what's happening now. And a lot of you have seen me speak over the years, and a lot of you have seen and heard things that I've said. I've got a tape series that's out there at our booth that we did back in 1991. And it's 18 hours of audio and 1 hour of video. On the video, we not only talked about the crop circles, but we actually videotaped one being made by the beings that make the crop circle. The 18 hours of audio. In that, in the first 3 hours, I go into the political conspiracies of what would take place in the future up until 1995 and beyond. And interestingly enough, I'm not much of a prophet, but I was told by some very wise elders in the different ET races a lot of interesting things, especially Liara from the Andromeda galaxy. When I became a contactee of hers in 1989, told me an awful lot about the political things that were going on and how the political picture would take place. Some of the things that were brought up then were the fact that FEMA, which we had a person on our group today from FEMA, what FEMA was really about, the Federal Emergency Management Group, they're not a disaster control. They're here for martial law. Martial law hasn't been declared yet, but it's been set in place. One of the things of the Iraqi war was to establish the fact that nuclear terrorists were going to become an up-and-coming threat. And once again, when martial law would be declared, it would be over that issue taking place in a major city. This hasn't been done yet because there hasn't been enough resistance to this kind of a movement that we have here. There hasn't been enough power reached to the general public from speakers on these platforms yet where it causes real harm. So that has not come about yet, but it will come about. Some of you probably know that Bill Cooper has been up on, he produced a book called Behold the Pale Horse, and he's been on satellite TV. He was arrested. He was hauled out of his house for no reason at all. No charges were filed, but this is some of the beginning of the unrest of some of the things that happened. Also, the political scene, as I said earlier, before, when Clinton was coming in, he had some good ideas, but he's dealing with a power that's out of his hands. I also, in the past, have talked about the drug running from George Bush when he was president of Zapata Oil and bringing in Derek, landing cocaine in Derek. It all starts, I talked about the Contra hearings. I talked about the cocaine and where it really came from and what it was about. And the United States, of course, was guilty of bringing 1% of the cocaine in. This all started to come up in public hearings in the newspaper in Virginia, especially when Oliver North was running for senator. Some of the ex-DEA chiefs, one of them, challenged him to a public debate because he was very insulted during his empowerment as the head of the DEA of being not allowed to stop this cocaine smuggling that was being brought into Arkansas. In the past, I've talked about the destruction of the immune system, the cover-up of the what the ozone layer is really doing to our bodies, about radiation and how it affects us. These are the subjects that I've covered in the past. And if you go back and study what Fred Bell has said and others have said, you'll find a pretty good understanding of what's going on now. But now what I'm seeing is that, especially from the UFO panel this morning, I found it not very interesting. In the fact, it was very repetitive. That's why I didn't say much today, because I didn't feel there was much for me to say. I found it very repetitive, And I found the UFO panel this morning to be very similar to what the UFO panels have been all along. I mean, I love a little showmanship from Sean and everybody, but we're missing the issue here about what's really going on. The other thing is this is getting too externalized. This whole scenario of the extraterrestrials being exposed, the intervention by the aliens, the Andromedans, the quakes, all of this is being taken out of character, because what I find here in this group, in the Whole Life Expo and around the country, is that people are not really understanding what's really going on, and they're not really relating to it other than on a verbal, slightly emotional level. It's not really touching spirit yet, and it needs to do that. Okay? The Andromedans have pointed this out, and this is why I'm saying what I'm saying. It's not my personal opinion. It's one that's been brought to me. And that's why I brought up my track record to see. As far as alien exposure, at the last show in Las Vegas, I had with me some artifacts that were delivered from a person in the Central Intelligence Agency, and I was only allowed to show two people at the show. One of them was Tricia McCallum. Actual pieces of a crashed gray spaceship. Now, if the CIA is bringing out these parts and bringing them to certain people in the show and showing them, I think the Project Awareness is well on its way, and they've got great concern. I wouldn't be holding a photograph. I could only bring a photograph. I was only allowed to have these objects for a few hours. They can be found at Area 51 inside the propulsion system of a ship. So I don't think that's really the issue. I think really the issue is to understand on a vibratory level what is really going on in our lives today and how to do something about it and how to deal with it. Also, it was real interesting to find when the question was raised about the origin of the Great Pyramid. And I could see that there was no logical understanding of anyone on our panel that really understood where it came from and what it's all about. In order to delve into something as traditional and as historical, it's not something that has to be channeled. If you go into the Egyptian Book of the Dead and the Tibetan Book of the Dead and some of the old manuscripts that are written in Sanskrit that go back over 28,000 years, then you can stand up with some authority and begin to understand and espouse where the pyramid came from. And also what seems to be missing from all of these scenarios are what I call celestial mechanics. Celestial mechanics we're talking about by Sri Yukteswar in the whole Yogananda trip when he talked about his holy science. These are not things that are alien. And for credibility, you'll find that Sanskrit is a phonical language very much like the Shinto was to the Japanese, and their language is based on phonics and sounds of nature. And when you start studying sounds of nature and you look into the Pleiadian language, which has also been channeled by some people, you'll begin to see similarities between Sanskrit and the Pleiades. Language is something, and nature is something that's very universal and seems to be left out in all of these conventions. One of the things that I learned and I cover this a lot in my seminars, and I've covered it in my books and my talks, one of the big things that's been left out by people channeling, talking, and communicating with Pleiadians is what the Pleiadians do and what they believe in their spare time and what their whole system is built upon. How many of you know what the big pastime of a Pleiadian would be? The ones that come from where Sannyasi comes from, Taygada and the planet Era. Does anybody really know? They're into nature. That's why they live so long. And they talk about nature spirits and angels and sylphs and salamanders and the same thing that the rishis talked about and taught the Brahmins centuries ago. These are things that are coming to vibratory levels that are coming into play in this time. Our solar system is moving like a part of a gear in a clock system. Our solar system is moving in a divine equinox of a precession around Alcyone, the central star, and the Pleiades. Every 25,827.5 years, we go one time around this giant star as part of that system going around some other system. And every time we go around this, every 25,000 years, 1 inch has always been defined at the base of the pyramid. In other words, you could take the pyramid and put the limestone back on it, and you would find the same number of inches to go around the whole circumference of the bottom of the pyramid as you was as the precession of the equinox. If you were to take those timetables into context and bring them down to terrestrial levels, You'll find that the inch, the American inch, is close to the real inch. You'll find the metric system is based on greed. It doesn't have anything to do with any divine measurement or celestial measurement. And you'll see immediate splits in our society and how it tries to control things and how things really are. And these are the areas, the grassroots, that we have to go back to if we want to get a theological and physical understanding of the universe and what's going on. As we rotate around the Pleiades, we have vibratory changes that are broken into 12 different sets of vibrations two times. Each time we have these vibratory changes, we have changes in the level of consciousness of the incarnating people that come to this world, meaning the soul vibratory frequency is different. Souls, when they vibrate in and out of physical form, go to places. They don't go to some nebulous heaven world. They go to places. In Pleiadian science, they teach us where they go. They teach us about how our fingerprints define not only characterization and identification on this planet, but the source of those fingerprints being the identity of the soul, as the Dalai Lama is identified with, he is reincarnated in by his monks from a temple, so is the Pleiadian identified when they are reincarnated in their group too from past biological, families. It's not forced on them, that knowledge, but it's there and they eventually gravitate to it during your first 120 years of education. These are things that we need to understand and know here. Secondly, we're coming from an age of the Piscean Age. The Piscean Age was structured spiritually by people that carnated in and out of the ring paths, not of the earth and the moon, meaning the astral planes and the higher planes of existence, or higher vibrations, more finite, and you don't think that the physical plane is not just as high as the astral or the mental plane. There's just as much conflict there, more subtly, than there is here. There's no difference between committing suicide, running away from here doesn't create any kind of a solution. It only creates a greater problem the next time you come back to finish up this karma, for example. So we came from the Piscean Age. The Piscean Age was a level of soul in this ring path knot that vibrated to the I believe. And because of belief, we had the structure belief, and the belief system were such that religions formed. Now we come to the next shift. And the next shift is we're coming into the Aquarian Age. In the Aquarian Age, we have two kinds of things happening here that have to be looked at directly on Earth before we even deal with extraterrestrials. The Aquarian Age, we have a soul that's being born here now that was a Piscean soul that's never lived beyond the parameters of this Earth and its local solar system, that's believing in a higher form of nature and God and is struggling to understand itself. At the same time, the vibratory frequency of the Aquarian Age is sanctifying another level of soul that comes here, that is born here, that has been in outer space, has been a Jonathan Livingston Seagull, and has traveled the great vast distances of space and time, and brings back the wisdom. That's the first foray of a stage that we're set with now. Secondly, heaven and hell. They are here now. If you start to think about how this planet behaves, for example, we talk about going into the emotion. How many of you heard of the expression of the photon belt? Okay, we're moving into the photon belt. How many of you really understand what that means? First of all, how many of you know what a photon is? Okay, what is it? Okay, and where does light live? Where does light come from? Does anybody know? It doesn't come from here. It comes from somewhere else. Nope. Sun is illuminated by photons. Where does that energy come that makes it luminescent? That gives us a perception and a mind to see an illuminated thing and to see each other in this illusion. Where does that come from? No, it comes from the astral plane, the very next plane that we're going to. And science, hardcore science, calls the particle an omegon. As a matter of fact, color comes from the astral plane. We're moving into that plane now, but not without a lot of side effects. Secondly, people thought, it's getting easier. It is getting easier now to see denizens of that plane here, i.e. haunted houses, paranormal phenomena. But what about King Arthur's time? What about when you went across the lake at Lake Avalon in a boat? And in one state of mind, you ended up at a Benedictine monkery? Or in the same state, a different state of mind, you ended up in a village of white witches and you crossed the same lake. What about that? That was hundreds of years ago. What happened there? What was the difference between that astral transition and what we're going through now? Okay? Second thing you need to pose amongst yourselves is this. Let's say this is 1776, and we're going through a revolution. The Indians are here now. The whole world, we look at the whole planetary situation of the entire world. How many people are living on the entire planet in 1776? A hell of a lot less than are here now, right? Now, do you think that Seoul, if there was, say, less than a billion people, and we've probably got 9 billion people here now, where were the other 8 billion people in 1776? Did you ever think about that? Okay. You begin to understand now what's going on. The other souls weren't here then because they were somewhere else in a space that was not ready for the physical plane incarnation. A lot of these souls weren't in a very good place. Why? Because we were coming from the last aspect of the dark side of the revolution. You know, we have a new moon and we have a full moon. We're in a new moon cycle now. In the new moon cycle now, the hard-driving hormones like serotonin are at a low. That means the crime rate is down right now. The consciousness is higher, and the people that live on pure emotion are more stable. When we go into the full moon, things change. Tides change. Body is 90% water. Surface tension changes. And we go into a vibration where anger becomes very obvious and very uncontrollable in the unenlightened being. The same is true in societies, in world societies, as they rotate around the Pleiades. We're coming from a period of 12,000 years of darkness, and we're coming into the light age, 12,000 years of light. And so what did we have in the last period of power in darkness? We had the Great Inquisition, didn't we? All through Europe. We had people being killed for no reason at all, because what was living in the Inquisition? Hell. Hell was a great incarnation on the physical face of Europe. And people ran from hell and came over here, and the only sacredity was the Indians at the time, and they just ran over the Indians like steamrollers. Finally, as the Aquarian Age began to come, some higher souls came in and began to do something for the Indians now in the 20th and 21st century. It sure as hell wasn't happening 150, 200 years ago. The Indians were just put away. So we have this thing going on here that kind of makes the water a little bit dirty and a little bit hard to understand when we start talking about the real involvement of the secret government, when we start talking about the real involvement of extraterrestrials. And extraterrestrials, the Pleiadians and the Andromedans know full well what's going on. Second thing now, not knowing what this is all about, the second thing is now we are coming into a form of compression. We've got all of these billions of souls that basically have them came from hell, that's why we have so many wars, living in a physical vibration, and their personal auras, for example, aura fields, we together in here are starting to blend our auras as we sit in this room, and some of us will have to leave, as a few have done, because they're not ready for this confrontation of unity at this vibratory level. Others are outside will come in. I mean, this is what's going on. This is a stabilization going on a higher level. But this stabilization process is reality. And this going and gathering of souls is in our constitution. It's challenged quite a bit, the freedom to be together. That was one of the things that you weren't allowed to do in Europe. This energy is moving back and forth. It's also creating a strong compression, a very strong compression. When the compression starts, what happens in a compression, in a normal situation without it, you could be a small, depopulated world, and more of the souls are on the astral plane dealing with their dharma, past karma, and you're on the physical world, and you can go, and you can move around with your energies, and you can have your little colony, like the Mormons did, and then you can have your colony, like the Mormons did, within a society that's not ready for that consciousness, and you can push the Mormons away, or you can burn them up. You can do things, and there's still space to gravitate to. Today, you can't do that anymore. So what happens is the intensity of the souls is building. Like we go to Arkansas all the time, for example, and we mine quartz, lots and lots of quartz. I lived in Arkansas off and on part of my life. They never had robberies in backwoods Arkansas. Now they have gang problems. You know, Little Rock is the highest crime rate today in the whole of all the nations. I mean, everywhere you go, it's that. You follow me? It's all around, this energy. Now, on top of that, we've got the government doing their best with their depopulation to such a degree with the immune systems coming down like they are that they have produced. I talked about AIDS in 1991. I told you that it was introduced in 1978. Now, how about E. coli and B. coli, the things that are out now? And what are they doing to our immune system? They're changing us around very rapidly. So we have to get strength within our own immune system. And strangely enough, your euphoria, your creativity, all of that comes from the immune system when you understand how the body works on a vibratory level. So we have to treat all of this with vibration. The only way to be strong and to see through all this is to understand the vibratory frequencies of the body. That is what the Pleiadians have been teaching us. That is what the Andromedans have been teaching us. Second thing is called divine intervention. It started back in about 1989 with the Andromedans doing certain things. Now, I'd like to hear a couple of comments. What do you people think divine intervention entails? In other words, if I said in 1989, Andromedans came here and did something with divine intervention, what does that mean? Could I get a couple of hands and a couple of statements? Yeah.
What can I do to get the UFO, when the UFO is coming?
Well, that's not my question right now. Somebody know? Yeah. What do you have to say?
Yeah.
Wait. Let her talk. Yeah. You're in the back. You raised your hand. What do you think divine, what is it to you? That's happening already. That's as we go around the Pleiades, there are certain frequencies, time is like a spiral. As we go around, the consciousness is in the dense level, the physical plane, i.e. we have cavemen running around, okay? 5,000 years ago we had cavemen. Now we're coming up into a higher vibration and consciousness is unifying and we're starting to have a stellar input from other beings. That's natural for the time. That's not divine intervention. Okay, yeah. No. That's an interesting point because earthquakes are created by solar wind. Wind is created by man's emotions playing into the earth's aura. Yeah.
Yeah, what can I do to get rid of this?
No, hang on a second. Yeah, go ahead. You have
becoming aware that we were never supposed to be meat eaters from the very beginning?
No, not that. Meat eating is not a blessed thing, but it's a thing of the form. Okay, go ahead.
Divine intervention, that happens to like infinite intelligence actually connecting all of this together on a spiritual level?
That's not intervention. That is part of a solution to it. Go ahead.
Well, we are in a certain timeline, period, a certain possible future that may have been possibly disastrous to certain planets, the people, the life, and that therefore was an overseer grouping that came down to interfere to fit that timeline.
Now she's coming up with some cool stuff. Now let's get real grassroots. What is the big thing in the O.J. Simpson case? Three words, three letters. No.
DNA.
No, DNA. Okay, what was Fred Bell talking about in his tape series in 1991? DNA and the holographic imprint, not only of your DNA. What was the thing the other night in that movie that Tricia brought up about the asteroids coming to the Earth? What was the big thing at the very end? Does anybody know what that was about? The very conclusion of that movie was on Friday night. What was it? There was a big film showing where that people thought it was an actual disaster occurring where asteroids were coming. Okay? What did we put as a sign when we sent a space probe off into deep space? What was the things we put on there? We put a world with a pyramid on the top, right? And something below it. The imprints were DNA. In the end of that movie, the asteroids were coming in a DNA pattern. Okay? DNA is where it's at. What is DNA? Boy, I'll have a lot of people in my workshop tomorrow if you don't know what DNA is. Because we talk about that.
The genetic blueprint?
Where's it come from? Who made it?
It's in our genes.
Yeah, who put it there?
Got it.
You did.
What's DNA stand for?
DNA? Ribonucleic acid is part of it. Okay. Now, what's the first part? We'll get there. I gave you that last half. I want the first part. Deoxyribonucleic acid is what it is. Okay. DNA is some energy. Okay. Energies that come and they form a helix of four acids or two acids and two bases. In other words, if we had the Earth and we had no life here but some protein and we hit it with electricity, boom, out of nowhere we have DNA and guess what? We have life. You can do that in a laboratory, in a science laboratory. You can create life, electricity, and protein, amino acids. Boom, form, and they become alive. That energy comes from us. God is within us. In divine intervention, the DNA is being played with a lot. Okay, in the Pleiadian teaching, for example, with the nuclear receptor, when we talk about that, and I'll demonstrate that in a minute, we work with energy first because energy works on the DNA. The DNA, for example, when you're born, before you're born, in the mother's womb, We have 48 base pairs per turn. That means you have 48 base pairs per turn in a 3-foot long helix, which is made up about as many atoms and cells, and cells but atoms, as the whole number of stars in the galaxy. Okay? When the mother is making this fetus perfect, because the fetus is being built perfect before the moment of birth, there's 48 base pairs per turn. The fetus is separated in the mother by the placentia. And it separates. It purifies the mother's poison and puts it into the baby. Okay? As soon as the baby is born, the DNA, the base pairs per turn, in this case they're telling the cells to get healthy and look like a baby versus an older person, the moment the baby is born, the base pairs are reduced from 48 to 31. 25% of the life of the child is destroyed when it takes its first breath of air on this planet. Okay? This was not always the case. 12,000 years ago in Atlantean times, during the destruction of Poseidon, which left a huge vortex called the Bermuda Triangle, the little guys known as the Greys that are here now interfered with human DNA. There's a lot of that in history if you study it. And that's why during the time of Methuselah, who lived 650 years, to the time of us, we live less than 100, life got short. And that's one of the big pictures that we have to deal with in the negative side of the extraterrestrial. By the time that you're 18 years old, your base pairs per turn are 18. You're 50% dead when you're 18 years old because your body has deteriorated. DHEA, dehydroepiesterone, and the omega-3, and marine lipids as they're used to substitute for that, your body has that naturally, aren't there anymore. By the time you're 20, you're aging 50% faster than you were when you were 15 or 12. DHEA was discovered in the medical societies, and of course the FDA made it totally illegal to take it, although I see it sneaking back onto the health food store through the Mexican yam. See, it's back out. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you need to know about and how to deal with it. Know about what the Greys did in our past, what they're doing now. You need to know how to negate these effects in the body. Because right now, with this compression that we're having, compression being the growth-resistant generation, those people that are not in this room, those people that are right outside in the hotel lobby that aren't at this show and right out there driving and moving up and down those streets, are in a growth-resistant mode. Their auras are contradictory to the planet's aura field, which is poisoning our planet in its relationship to its brother and sister planets in our solar system. And as we get into this mode of what you call a photon belt, which is nothing more than the illumination of light from within, not out there, but from within, we have a higher compression. How many of you now are starting to get dizzy spells and feeling claustrophobic that are in perfect health? You're in perfect health, but you feel dizzy or claustrophobic. Go to a doctor, there's nothing wrong. You never had that 10 years ago. How many are feeling that? Okay, just put your hands up. Don't be afraid. That's the beginning. That's the acclimation. One of the things that divine intervention is doing, not only did the Andromedans change some historical events when they came here in 89, but in 93 they began to ship the Earth's current on the magnetic field. So that means when you go to sleep at night, what is supposed to happen when you go to sleep at night? Rest. But what is rest? What happens if you're not allowed to dream at night? What if I wake you up every time you get, your eyes start to twitter? Go crazy. Why? You're not connected on the astral plane. What's on the astral plane? Your brothers and sisters that aren't here now that you already know from past lives. You're not finished. If you can't go home at night where you belong and be with your brothers and sisters or some teacher or an ET or whatever it is you have to be with, you go crazy. You'll fight for that space. And then that space you'll disconnect on this one and you just make the waters muddy. The Andromedans are working there. Okay? They're working there. They're working with the priests that lived during the Inquisition that were bad boys and haven't been punished yet. They're not punishing anybody. They're going to be punished right here. So as a result, you get compression on this plane. You'll find allergies springing up. You'll find dizziness. You'll find a lot of things starting to happen to you, and you'd better deal with it. Because it's not just you that's happening. It's the alcoholic, drug-boozing whores out there are also experiencing the same thing. And they're just covering it up with new drugs, more diseases, and all of the other things that go on. Yeah. What do you mean? The life force is in every cell of the body. The life force that controls comes through the nerves called the autonomic nervous system. The autonomic nervous system is the one that makes you breathe and your heart beat. Okay? That's the one you have to deal with for that. There's three different nervous systems in the body. The autonomic, the sympathetic, and the parasympathetic. The physical, the feeling and the spiritual. Those three reside in the body. These things work through the carbon atom. That's the power of the pyramid, because the carbon atom is a pyramid shape. There are seven levels of consciousness that we live in, seven different vibratory frequencies. Just as you hold a prism up into the sun and you see seven colors, those seven colors radiate through the hydrogen atom. They have a sound called the music of the spheres. Stephen Halpern was very expressive of that in a lot of his music, especially one of his first albums that he ever came out with, where he prescribed relaxation for people. That was tuning the hydrogen atom, okay? Because we're made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. And when you combine these things, you can create an instrument within the body of consciousness that becomes very powerful, and can overcome a lot of toxins and things that go on.
Well, that was real quick. Let me flip it now. I don't know if there's, see what we got going here. We'll flip it, I think. I'm not sure if we got anything on the other side of this, because I got another tape right behind it, but we'll find out here in about a second. There's a backside of this puppy. Good old fashion education. If not, I've got another National Health Federation thing ready to roll. Okay, there's nothing on the backside of that. All right, so.
Come on a second.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
First, relax. You need to relax. That'll help it. That's the start. Okay, I need somebody up here for muscle testing. No, I don't want you up here. You're too noisy. Huh? No, we'll get you later. You come up.
I'm ready.
I know you're ready. You're over anxious here. What's your name?
Elizabeth.
I'll just show you what power and energy can do. Okay, I want you to turn around here. She already put her arm out, huh? The other way. Here, with your arm put. No. Turn around this way. Now put your arm this way, that way. Okay. Now make a fist. Okay. Now resist. Resist. Let's see your strength. That's your strength. That's it, huh? Oh, you're a little weak today, huh? Well, hold on now. Now what we're going to do is we're going to poison you, Elizabeth. We're going to give you a little shot of poison here. I want you to get a good whiff of that. This is methyl ethyl ketone. Anybody want to take a whiff of that? That'll kill you in about 4 minutes. Okay. You think I'm kidding? Who wants? I'll put a bet up on that. Okay, now. Just hold that in your hand. See that? Don't get that on your nose. Okay, I want you to start breathing that. Okay. Breathing it? Smell it? Resist now. That's it? Resist. Okay, well, relax. That's just a little bit less of what's in your standard atmosphere every day anyway. Okay. It's just a little bit quicker. That's the only difference. That goes about toxins in the body, toxins, you know, then the food, all the garbage. Now put your arm back up. Now breathe that again. Now resist. See how strong she can get. Pretty good. I say you've been working weights in the last 30 seconds. Tell me how that back.
You sure?
Yeah. That's a nuclear receptor. This talks to the DNA in your body, nuclear forces. Nuclear receptor. Okay. I'm glad you do. This is just an example of the technologies that we have been presenting on this planet since, I don't know, about 1975. I think we started here in 1974. And this is just the beginning of what we have to offer, and the explanation of all well written. And these are just some of the things that help, because it's a technology that is going away. For example, we created a vitamin formula with the Pleiadians' help and some help from some Tibetan friends of mine. And it builds the immune system. We use huge amounts of vitamin A, way more than you normally see. We use herbs that you've never even heard the names of, and we combine that. And we, so far, all the people that have ever taken our vitamins for the last, since 1981, I don't know any of them to get have ever gotten very sick, because the vibratory frequency of the immune system comes up. There's a lot of things you can do. And the idea of getting the immune system clear is to get your vision clear, get your understanding clear, and then things happen very fast, and the claustrophobia goes away, and the paranoia goes away, you know. All of these things start to go away, and questions start to become answered, and the thirst for knowledge starts to express itself. Because so many people, I find, don't express themselves in their quest for knowledge. It's so much easier to turn the TV on and watch it all the time. And that's okay, too, for a balance. It puts me to sleep. I like it going to sleep sometimes. But it doesn't satisfy all of the knowledge except some of the discovery programs and things like that. So there's a lot to look at. In my workshop tomorrow, I will go into some specifics. I have a slide. We have an annual workshop in Laguna Beach. And I will go in and show you how the body works on these levels. And depending on how fast the group moves, bring you abreast of some of the DNA and extraterrestrial knowledge. One of the things that I wanted to go back to real quick was going to sleep at night. And talk about the human aura for another second or two, and then I'll take some questions. One of the things that the Andromedans have done, and this is getting confused by what's called pole shift. Now, the Earth shifts its poles every 4.5 billion years. This hasn't varied very much in history, and it probably won't for a billion years to come until the star, which is a young G star, our star, starts to get old, and its gravity changes, which will cause changes. And as the Earth gets older, Jupiter will start to solidify, and we'll start living there if we don't blow it up with one of our Galileo 5 satellites in the interim. And what the Andromedans have done, just so you understand, is they have shifted the etheric part of the magnetic field of the Earth. Now, true north is 16 degrees off in this hemisphere of magnetic north. Magnetic north lays off to the left and off to the right. It goes like a slant. That's why the compass doesn't point true north. When you go to sleep at night, the ideal thing, anybody will tell you, like those pyramids that we make that you sleep in, for example, we line them up to the north, and you sleep with your energy parallel to the Earth, the north and south pole. But that's not where the healing force comes from on the magnetic field. The magnetic field is not the healing force. One of the big mistakes that's been made in our society is the use of permanent magnets. The human body's magnetic field is called the Seebeck effect in physics, and it has no polarity. It's an alternating form of magnetic field. When you use north and south poles, for example, that's not healthy. The Earth has enough north pole, and the Earth has enough south pole. So we sleep along that side. But what it's really doing is there's an energy field that's called the etheric field, which makes the magnetic field happen, and its relationship with gravity that's perpendicular or 90 degrees to the Earth field. So in other words, if we have a line going that way to the north, we have another line going that way with a healing force. And so the healing force, when you're not parallel to it, but it's perpendicular to your body, really stimulates the body as the Earth turns from the west to the east at 1,000 miles an hour. You've got to realize everything is in motion. The hydrogen atom is also, at the same time, changing frequency. When the sun comes up, the hydrogen atom, look at it as a proton and an electron. And what makes the proton and what makes the electron go around the proton? Energy is coming from the seven levels of consciousness animating the hydrogen atom. Because we're only made up of oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen, carbon, four atoms, that's all we are. And consciousness, and cells, and all other things. But you go right back to that level. Because believe me, you think this doesn't affect your hydrogen atom when you breathe this, it affects it to the point where your hydrogen atom can't function in your body after 4 minutes of breathing that continuously. So we're talking about something that's very real here. If you have the opposite of this in your life, spiritual consciousness will flood you. So what happens is in the morning, when the sun comes up on the horizon, we're acclimated. Our hydrogen atom in our body is vibrating so that the red part of the rainbow is going into the nucleus and the violet part of the rainbow is going into the electron. As the sun moves across the horizon, the Earth causing it to turn, the sun's really not moving anywhere, energy is coming in from the different star systems called stellar influence, and it's changing the frequency of the hydrogen atom so that when the sun sets in the evening, the violet has shifted to the nucleus and the red, which is power, has shifted to the outer periphery. So the sun is set, the hydrogen atom has changed polarity, and guess what? Did you ever notice your consciousness is different in the morning than at midnight? How many of you have not noticed that? Okay? That's something that has to be taken into consideration. That's something the grays like to mess with big time. Another thing is, if we relocate at this very moment, it's a little after 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock here now, if we relocate to Europe 8 hours away, and the sun is in a different position, we feel a little edgy, a little out of balance, a little out of phase, because the hydrogen atom has to get back into frequency. And it takes it a few days. How it does it? It's done through the chakra in relationship to the head, which is called the pineal gland. The pineal gland is what animals use to sense night and day. It's what birds use it, pigeons use it to find home. It's the homing device. It also has a death hormone. These are things that we learn about in extraterrestrial technology, the actual homing device of the Earth and the homing device of man. If you put an astronaut, for example, into a space, he has a different form of jet lag than flying from here to Europe. We have a different vibratory frequency. As a matter of fact, if you put somebody in space, the jet lag is so great, their body cannot assimilate calcium. Calcium is the biggest thing you need to make your heart beat. And so your heart will gradually stop beating, and your body will fall apart because you can't adjust to that kind of jet lag. Now, if you get into an extrastellar ship and get hauled away like Travis Walton was or somewhere to a far distant place and brought back, it can leave you permanently disoriented, permanent jet lag damage, all to do with the shift of polarities within the hydrogen atom and the shift of consciousness re-entering the form. Now you take the next interesting lesson about life, is that when you go to sleep at night, you have these chakras. What is a chakra? A chakra is the nervous network, the ganglia, that allows the capillary storing a hormone to function. In other words, your feelings and your consciousness comes on the physical plane from hormones. Hormones are sexual energy. Hormones are creativity if it's from the pituitary gland, vasopressin being one in case. It's energy if it's adrenaline from the adrenals. All of these things are consciousness. All of these things are colors and sounds and vibrations. All of these things are synchronized, and all of these things can be messed with big time and screwed around with if you don't know how to keep yourself in balance. So it becomes very important. At night, when you sleep, this balancing is taking place off the earth because that's your best point of reference, because that's where your bodies came from and that's where they're going to go. The Andromedans, in 1993, in September, almost a little over a year ago, shifted this alignment of the body's ability to get a parallel and a perpendicular shift in charge of referencing energy off the earth. So now it's going to shift from 1993 until the year 2000. That's 7 years. Each part of that 7 years, it will shift 0.5 degree. So it will be shifted almost 4 degrees off by the year 2000. That means you're going to get a pretty damn unrested sleep by the year 2000 if you have not learned to acclimate with the shift and go with the tide. Okay, yeah.
Speaking of sleep, I notice a lot more now often I'm waking up in the middle of the night.
Yeah? Yeah, a lot of us are waking up in the middle of the night. You wake up fully charged. I'm finding I need way less sleep than I used to. Because you're waking up, because you're making this change so abruptly, and you're getting supercharged off of it. This is what you want. Other people can't wake up at all in the daytime. And a lot of people that can't wake up in the daytime start getting this closed-in feeling. This is all part of the shift that's going on. This is divine intervention. Because the people that are in this growth-resistant generation cannot draw upon the forces of the stars like we can in the shift, which is required now, they're drawing off the forces of the earth, and guess what? The earth is shifting, and it's not shifting to their benefit. So as Einstein said, you get rid of the growth-resistant generation by letting them die away. And as a result, the government is speeding up their own demise. They think that because they've created the E. coli vibration and the Ebola vibration, this is some mean stuff, way worse than AIDS. If you get hit with one of these, what happens is, the first couple of hours, you have a sickness and nausea. The next day, you have a stroke. And the next day after that, if you haven't had a stroke and died from that, you just start bleeding from everywhere. It dissolves your blood from its coagulant factor into something less than water and just runs out of your pores. And everybody that's got it so far, what the article in Time magazine says, you don't have to worry about it being contagious. It kills you right on the spot. There's no survivors. But guess what? Some of its references were planted on a ship recently, which supposedly sailed up from Peru where this started. I realized that AIDS started in Africa, even though no gorillas ever come down with it, no monkeys ever come down with it. That's where AIDS started, right? And now this one's starting with some animal in Peru, even though none of the animals in Peru ever had this. So put that together and begin to realize what's going on. Somebody have a question back here? No? Yeah. There is none. What? This one was September 12, 1994, called Revenge of the Killer Microbe. Are we losing the war against infectious diseases? And you can reference its origins in my tape series in 1991, which came out. Yeah. The antidote to this is to build the immune system. If this can't get a hold of you, it ain't going to hurt you. Okay? You can walk right through it. That's what we teach. One of the big things in our teaching is how to build the immune system, how to build your environment. You know, once this happens and your aura shifts, you start attracting to yourself what you're looking for, what you need. But until you attract the need for it, to balance it, you're going to get the opposite of it, which most of you are probably getting. You wouldn't be in this room now. Yeah.
What's your name?
What? Fred Bell. What? Yeah. Magnetic therapy? The only therapy that I was real happy with was some stuff done by Giotto Dotto at Sloan Kettering University, one thing called the Dotto ring, which cured cancer, because cancer can be treated on a polarity level. It's a will-to-live disease. But and then there was some other work that was done by a guy, Dr. Contreras, down in Puerto Rico, who passed on. He used to do magnetic therapy for sports injuries. But there aren't too many, what I have seen, good understanding practitioners in our time to deal with magnetic therapy. We have tendency to stay away from it because there's far more effective ways. Yeah. No. No, I was a vegetarian for 7 years and a fruitarian for one. And I was 30 years old. I was skinny as a rail. And I went out in the desert and hung out with Indians and took all their ceremonies and stuff. And then I came back and started eating a little bit more meat to get back in the flow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. C. coli is the more common one.
Aren't you afraid of
that? No. No, I'm not afraid of any of these diseases. I sometimes pretend I am, but you can't be because then you invoke them. Yeah. Well, you got to detox your body. For example, your brain uses up 80% of your nutrition during sleep. A lot of people, I recommend B-complex. B-complex, especially B15, vitamin B15. We put it in our vitamins. It's kind of hard to get over the counter because it's illegal. But what it does is it puts oxygen in your body. Second thing is we recommend people sleep in pyramids, these pyramid structures. We done now? Yeah. And because the pyramids block the energy. Somebody done now or what?
Yeah,
we're
still getting everybody.
Yeah, we got to let Timothy O'Leary. I'll be doing a workshop tomorrow, and we have our booth number 210. I got to stop. Thanks. 2 o'clock.
The workshop is tomorrow at 2.
One thing is 2:09 and 24.
Thank you.
What's your name, Sal?
Huh?
Your name?
Fred Bell.
Fred Bell, yes. I want to get rid of this. What's going on?
What is it?
It's a nerve snap, but no one didn't know. It's a nerve snap.
Well, I start taking my vitamins, usually caused by a nutritional deficiency in the body. Go down to booth 210 and get some of those vitamins. I'll probably.
Our vitamins won't do any good. What
you haven't tried ours. These are special.
What else can I do to get rid of it?
It's the only thing that'll work.
What about?
Here, we'll switch this out and we'll start the NHF thing now. That one's done. That's a good 47 minutes there. So now we'll do the National Health Federation. We'll probably have to finish that one next week. As soon as we get Dr. Bell up to the podium here.
So how many of you guys were here last year at the other place? How many of you came to my lecture last year? Oh, I'm getting repeat customers again, huh? Great. Oh, I've been losing weight all along, you know, trying to. It's a constant battle. I've been working out more and more. A friend of mine named John Schaefer was supposed to be here, but he's just finished a new book called The Winning Factor, but he had to go on another kind of a tour, so he didn't quite make it to the show. He's my personal trainer. Since last year, we did finally finish this monster book. This book is 586 pages long, and I've been working on it since I finished my other book in 79. It's got about 400 illustrations in it. One of the interesting subjects that I've been covering a lot on radio shows is these schoolyard shootings. You know, I don't know how many of you remember me from Chicago when I came here 23 years ago and explained a lot of the problems that we were going to have with the environment and consciousness, gangs and schoolyard shootings and prisoners and crime rates. I gave those predictions 23 years ago, and they're all pretty much coming true now, along with the solutions to a lot of these problems, too. And unfortunately, the negative environment is encompassing consciousness faster than consciousness can survive. So as a result of that, we've got some pretty bad situations going on. I told you guys years ago, for example, about our experiments at the University of Michigan after World War II. And at World War II, we found that near Hiroshima and Nagasaki, when the bomb had gone off, the hydrogen bomb, the atomic bomb had gone off, there was a lot of people exposed to radiation. And the ground zero is where the bomb explodes, which is the closest part and the highest amount of radiation. And we found that there were a lot of people that were exposed to huge amounts of radiation in those two bomb blasts and had very little damage to their DNA, very little damage to their genetics, and very little damage, period. And then there were people 30 miles away from the bomb, or 40 miles away, that had very minor amounts of exposure to radiation, and they had major damage. And that was kind of my beginning, you know, my entryway, you know, the phenomenon of why can people be on top of a bomb and not be harmed by it, and people miles away be harmed by it when they get a minor amount of exposure. And that was my opening statement to the health field, I think, back in the early 50s. And what we found was that the people that were not harmed by radiation had large amounts of electrolytes in their body. Electrolytes are in the brain. And these people, in order to maintain the electrolytes in their body, have large amounts of Fotai, Ginseng, and Gotu-Kola. So because of that knowledge in later years, I began to use that in my formulations. Because if you don't have large amounts of electrical, you know, energies in your body cannot create an electrical field around it. When the electrolytes are in the brain, the hormones come up from your endocrine system, and they fire these synapses off in the brain. And this firing off the synapses produces an electrical field that's distributed around the body and down through 72,000 major wires of the major nervous system. And this is called your aura. So in this research, over the years, science has got deeply engrossed in the phenomenon of the aura. And if your aura field is working properly and functioning properly, your body doesn't create free radicals when it's exposed to MSG or radiation or anything else. Your body becomes bulletproof pretty much. And I've been able to practice that all through the years that I've been exposed to it, because I used to be a nuclear physicist. I was around it all the time. I live with radiation. But unfortunately, most people today don't understand that, or they don't really want to understand, or they don't care about it. Everybody seems to be in denial. And one of the biggest things that we see today in our society is the people producing free radicals from radiation, storing it in two vital parts in their body. In the women, it's stored in the mammary glands of the breasts. In the men, it's stored in the male organs, primarily in the genitalia and, of course, upper colon, all the different places, prostate. So as a result of that, what do you see more cancer? Colon cancer, prostate cancer, you know, breast cancer, all over the place. Totally inexcusable, totally avoidable, if people want to avoid it, by taking simple preventative measures as far as that. Same thing with the aging process. If you don't take care of your body genetically, start working with your body genetically, with the DNA level, the aging process, you can see some people that are 70 or 80 years old hobbling around, and some other people 70, 80 years old performing like high-powered athletes. Why? Because they do something about it. We have to exercise. We've got to put the right things in our body. We've got to be able to process the poison. You're not going to be able to avoid poison. Just for example, the atmosphere. This Chicago is pretty close to sea level, maybe 10 feet or so above sea level at the most. If this were back in 1975 when I gave my first lecture down here at the Holiday Inn, we had quite a bit of oxygen in the air in 1975. But today, 23 years later, 1998, we're theoretically about 3,000 to 4,000 feet of altitude right now. That's how much oxygen we've used up since 1975. Think about that. 3,000, 4,000 feet, not sea level, because that much oxygen is gone today. So as a result, when this oxygen is gone today, your consciousness doesn't work. And if you can't see that the world is totally going unconscious, then you have a real problem with your own consciousness, because it is going unconscious. Even politically, you can see the changes. I told you that everybody was paranoid in the 70s about computers and being kind of like the humans were going to be going into the fishbowl. And I says, no, that's not a problem because of communication. So the government's going in the fishbowl. We're going to be out here as the observers. Well, guess what? You know, Clinton can't even have oral sex anymore without it, the whole world knowing about it, can he? And reacting to it. And reacting to it. And there's many other things that will come up, because stuff, karma is finally coming. It's leveling. The playing field is now starting to get level. And with a level playing field, you know, you can't. There's no more closets to hide things in. It just isn't going to work. Closets don't exist anymore. What exists now is a reality. You can't run up into the mountains to get away from the environment. You can't go, you know, anywhere to another foreign country or South America to get away from the environment. The environment follows you around. Fossil fuel pollution is here to stay. Radiation. We've got, what, close to 500 nuclear reactors in the world right now. With unconscious people operating these nuclear reactors, what you have is bad contamination of the waste all over the planet. And the 400 and some underground blasts that we conducted in Nevada released huge amounts of radiation in the environment. And you got to understand something about radiation. Even World War II radiation, all in the test before and after, the half-life of these particles is 2,000 to 3,000 years. So it doesn't go away, it just gets worse. If you, for example, were to take a normal pregnant woman on dairy products and she were to cross a state line, she could be arrested for two things by the FDA. One, transporting a radioactive substance, her breast milk, across a state line, and transporting large amounts of DDT, also present across the state line. So there's two offenses right there. So everybody in here has got huge amounts of radiation, very low amounts of oxygen, and this causes tremendous amounts of problems unless you deal with it. And the offspring that we're producing now are not very motivated. I don't know if you've noticed the motivation lately of children, young adults. It's not really what I would call very aggressive. Tradition, which was the appreciation of the work of our ancestors to get where we are in spirituality and consciousness, is fast going by the wayside. People don't even understand what the word means anymore, and it's very unfortunate. I work a lot with the body, the cells, the organisms of the body, and we work a lot with DNA and how to deal with what are called electrical precursing energies. Your body is 5% mineral. This mineral frequency in your body, these minerals going in your body, you know, curtails and corrects and guides the other 95% of your body functions. Unfortunately, starting with a nutritional factor, minerals aren't even present in our foods hardly anymore. They've been absent for a long time. Minerals alone going into our bodies produce three different vibratory frequencies. The low frequency, mineral frequencies, which operates our breathing, our heart, and simple basic processes or unconscious processes. Those are just base minerals. Those are no longer present in our nutritional foods anymore because of the destruction of the soils and the destruction of the atmosphere and the high frequency of ultraviolet.
Well, we're running out of time here, so I got to cut it off till next week, and we'll put a stop on that puppy right there. And we'll continue on with this a great exploration of knowledge next week. See you, Thursday night, 5 o'clock p.m., live show.